What's up, Beardos? You're listening to a litigiously loving bonus episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't let me answer your question first.
Not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talking about beards.
Beards.
What does it mean, Paul?
The big beans and the big brown ripple.
Who knows, Andy? I don't know.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If for some bizarre reason you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. And you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com or comment below.
In today's bonus episode, we're going to be discussing two lawsuits shaking up the vegan world.
Paul, every time I think I'm out, the Impossible Whopper pulls me back in. I've probably made that joke before.
probably multiple times. This is going to be like this. Well, this is certainly probably the fourth or fifth time we've discussed this on the show, but like the second or third bonus episode that we've talked about the Impossible Whopper.
Definitely is the second bonus episode. Although this is like, it's about more than just the Impossible Whopper. It's about like vegan attitudes in general, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, certainly this is something new that is, you know, possibly has more consequences than just like, oh, I'm annoying my friends or something like that. So,
yeah. And depending on how it goes, it could have some big consequences for the future. So
we'll get into that. That's going to be the second story we're talking about, Andy.
And before we even get to the first one, though, we have to send a huge thank you to everybody that's listening, because if you're listening, that means you're doing it on the Patreon platform, and that means you have thrown some money in our general direction to have access to this platform. So thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate everything that you do to contribute to the show continuing to keep going.
Yeah, I know it's been a minute since we put out a bonus episode. Those mutual interviews really just exhausted us, Paul.
And so did life, I would say.
This is true. Yeah, I feel like once like finals come around and once October hits and I'm just in like full steam ahead VegFest season, it gets a little lost. But I'm glad we're back on this train, because I'm staring at Paul right now. We're in person. Yeah. It's great. It's wonderful.
We just recorded another episode, a different episode, a main episode, and it's nice to be in person when we could just like bang out a few of these episodes and give the people what they want. So
hopefully talking about the Impossible Whopper.
So hopefully that's what we do with this bonus episode. So without further ado, Andy, would you like to kick off this first story?
Sure. So I'm pretty sure we're going to call this episode A Tale of Two Lawsuits, because that is exactly what it is. The first one up is coming to us from the Star Tribune on November 17th. As far as I can tell, this was the first place to actually report on it, but it got picked up by a ton of different news outlets, not just the vegan ones. The herbivorous butcher takes on Nestle in David and Goliath trademark battle.
Inflammatory.
Such gravitas.
Biblical.
It's a satanic battle of biblical proportions. So herbivorous butcher, Paul, sadly you have not been there.
I have not
been there. Have you ever had their stuff?
I have. It's quite good.
Yeah. I'm a fan of herbivorous butcher. I like their whole vibe. It's a cool shop to go to. And I've actually never met Kaylin Aubrey, who are the owners, the founders of herbivorous butcher, but they seem like lovely people.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know. It's they exude a warmth whenever I see like videos of them, and they really give off this air that they're in this business because they like care about like the justice movement behind it.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong on that, but that's the impression that I get.
And that's all for the show today, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Again, we haven't met these people, and I'm sure it's not the same, but herbivorous butcher feels to me kind of like Tofurky, where it's like, these are people that are in it for ethical reasons, and they're like in it for good reasons. And I want to support these companies, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So now that we've laid that groundwork, that's the David. The Goliath in this case is Nestle Foods, Paul.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. And so Nestle Foods, not a name you think would get dragged into a battle with the herbivorous butcher. But they recently acquired Sweet Earth Foods, which is a plant-based food maker. Not everything they do is vegan, but I don't think they use any actual meat.
Because they have some of those bowls, right? They make like pre-prepared bowls or something.
Wraps and
oh, that's right. Yeah, they got the wraps. Maybe. Yeah. Let's continue pondering
let's
about
just what... list everything. Pull up that website, Paul. So anyway, let me read a little bit from this to set the scene. The Herbivorous Butcher, a sibling-owned Minneapolis business lauded as America's first meat-free market, is taking on Nestle, a multinational food corporation, in hopes of either winning the legal right to continue using the phrase or to keep it in the public domain so others in the growing marketplace for plant-based foods can use it too. Now, the phrase in question here is vegan butcher or the vegan butcher. And this is a battle, Paul, that's been playing out since June. So I guess it was hidden from public view for a while. I'm not sure why it came out in public recently. But I feel like it could only go bad for Nestle once the public view comes into play here. But like I said, Nestle, they bought out Sweet Earth Foods. Turns out Sweet Earth Foods is planning to launch a line of deli meats sometime next year. So that gives you some sort of insight into why they might possibly want the phrase the herbivorous butcher, or not the herbivorous. It gives some insight into why they would want the phrase the vegan butcher. And so, Paul, this is the backstory for this. And this is where I think it actually gets pretty interesting, because prior to reading articles about this, I just assumed that like Herbivorous Butcher saw that Nestle was trying to trademark that, and they're like, oh crap, no wait, it's ours, we want it. And that like that's sort of really, that's what it was. That was the backstory. Yeah. But in August of 2017, the Herbivorous Butcher tried to trademark the phrase, and they actually trademarked a couple of other phrases then, like Brother Butcher and a couple of things. So who knows what they're doing with those, but they were granted all of them except for Vegan Butcher. And the reason why it was denied was because it was considered to be, quote unquote, merely descriptive. And they're like, okay. And they just continued to use the phrase as they had been doing. And then Paul. And then let me read a little further from this article. The dispute arose after Nestle and Sweet Earth sought to trademark the same phrase just 6 weeks after the Herbivorous Butcher abandoned it based on their future intent to use the phrase. In February, a different trademark official approved the application by Nestle and Sweet Earth. For some reason, it was denied for us, but not for them, Aubrey Walsh said. There are a lot of vegan butcher shops in the United States. We're all a part of the same team. We just don't want a largest company in the world to come in and say we're going to take the vegan butcher. It felt suspicious that it was immediately okay for them, but not for us.
That is suspicious.
It is suspicious, right? And, you know, you're like, okay, it's a different official. Maybe they just felt differently about it. Like, that's honestly a totally plausible explanation for why this happened. And the other thing that was mentioned, not in this article, but in the Veg News article about it, was that what Herbivorous Butcher was trademarking was Vegan Butcher, and what Nestle was doing was the Vegan Butcher. And so it is maybe possible that Vegan Butcher is like a descriptor and the Vegan Butcher is like a name for someone.
I guess, and obviously, Andy, I have no idea how these sorts of things proceed, but it seems like if that was the only thing that they needed, it seems like the person that was either in charge of approving or denying it would have said that. Like, clearly they gave a reason why it wasn't acceptable. They said, oh, you can't say vegan butcher because it's just a descriptive term. But it seems like they would say you are allowed to trademark the vegan butcher.
Well, Paul, I have some small amount of experience in dealing with these sorts of matters with my clothing line and trying to trademark certain phrases and stuff. And I can tell you that you get like no help whatsoever from these people, and even from, so like going through like LegalZoom is a company that I'll use that like tries to simplify certain legal processes. And I'd like try to trademark something, and then they're like, well, that's not actually a trademark, that's a copyright. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know, just like tell me what I should do. And they're like, you need to figure that out on your own. Like, basically, they're like, we essentially felt like they couldn't give you legal advice. And
this is LegalZoom you're talking about? Or yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. But even just dealing with other things, like, I don't know, I've dealt with like copyright claims with like eBay. And then they're like, you have to tell us, you have to file like an actual, like a written thing. Like, you have to tell us like which thing is actually being violated. And they send you like a list of all the things. And you're like, well, none of them kind of fit, but this one seems like the most accurate. And you send that in, they're like, no, it's not that. And I'm like, can you just tell me which one it is? And they're like, no, you have to sort of figure it out on your own. And,
yeah,
you know, and so that's not like dealing with like the trademark office or whatever. But in my experience, like the bureaucrat, not that LegalZoom's a bureaucratic entity or anything, but like in my experience, they're not there to like help people. They're there to very specifically look at specific paperwork and not to give advice. And I think that someone in like a trademark office or, you know, whoever it is you have to go to, I feel like they would be in a position where like if LegalZoom is someone like a company that's there to get your money to help you process legal paperwork, isn't willing to like really direct you, it'd be hard to imagine that like a trademark office would, because then that might show some sort of like favoritism, or, you know, like it could be viewed as like unfair help or something like that. So I could totally see the person being like, if you just put that "the" in the front, you'd be fine, suckers.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. Let me just real quick trademark "the Compassion Company."
Well, I have thecompassioncompany.com, Paul. So dang, you it can't.
Then I'll get, I mean, Compassion Company. It, but...
Anyway, all of that is basically just for me to say that, like, I feel like the bureaucracy is not there to help small businesses. So I could easily see a scenario in which the person wouldn't say, if you just changed it to "the," but even though it's such a small throwaway word, I do see that that's like, I could easily see that's a difference between like Bearded Vegan and the Bearded Vegans. You know, it's like the Bearded Vegans is like a team, and a Bearded Vegan, that's just someone.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So are we on the side of Nestle? Is that where we're falling down on this?
Well, Paul, I mean, this is just, Nestle's evil. Mm-hmm. They're like, they are the mustache twirling, comedically evil villain of the corporate world, which is saying something given how horrible so many corporations are. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about like the battles with Hellman's and Hampton Creek at the time, now Just Foods.
Just and mayo?
Just mayo.
Oh, just, oh, you're saying just foods. I'm going to edit that part out.
Like, I'm thinking about that, where as soon as it came to light, there was such a huge public outcry that in, at least in the eye of public opinion, there was no way for Hellman's to actually win.
Yeah.
You know, I who knows? I'm sure that Nestle doesn't care about the public opinion whatsoever, but
that was my impression of Nestle.
I feed off your hatred. So I don't know, but this is just horrible, because obviously Nestle has huge resources behind them, and they can, I assume even just drawing out the legal process to drain Herb Rivers Butcher of their finances is, it's like a common legal tactic. And I mean, you put Nestle money up against a small, not, I mean, the Rivers Butcher appears to be doing really well. Their products are everywhere. They get paid a pretty good price for it whenever I see it anywhere. And they still do very well. But I can't imagine their pockets are even one like millionth as deep as Nestle.
We need, you know what we need, Andy? We need Jim Cameron to get in on
the, that Jim Cameron money.
Get in on the Rivers Butcher side.
Was call it Nat Geo.
So I was going to say, I feel like maybe this, I mean, this is pure speculation, but it seems like, I'm wondering if Nestle was just kind of preemptively trying to trademark things, like a whole bunch of things, and if they're not really going to care about this as much, which, I mean, the fact that it's been going on since, what, June, maybe leads it to believe that it's not just some frivolous thing that they're willing to give up.
That, I mean, in the world of, like, legal proceedings, that doesn't seem like that long.
But yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, because the Vegan Butcher, if they're coming out with deli slices for Sweet Earth, like, it seems like the name The Vegan Butcher is, like, an entirely separate thing. Like Sweet Earth is already called Sweet Earth. They're not going to, it doesn't seem like they're changing the name of Sweet Earth. And if it's just the name of like one specific product, I don't know. It seems like it wouldn't even be worth them to go this far with court. They can just come, they would come. But even beyond that, the Vegan Butcher doesn't even really feel like the name of a specific product.
But what if it was like Sweet Earth, comma, the Vegan Butcher, or colon, the Vegan Butcher?
It seems like a terrible name.
Well, I mean, it could be like, I mean, a Rivers Butcher, you wouldn't want to like use the same name twice, but you could be like Green Meadows, the Vegan Butcher, you know?
I guess. I don't know. So you're, but.
I mean, it could honestly even just be an effort to mess with a Rivers Butcher and all the other vegan butcher shops out there.
It's possible. I feel like, I don't know.
You
know,
your face says you're giving Nestle the benefit of the doubt here, Paul.
No. My face says I'm... this is what my face
says. What's your face?
My face says that I'm wondering if this is just some... like, if they're not really tied to this name, Nestle, as much as they're just trying to, like, trademark a whole bunch of stuff. And if someone's going to go up against them, I'm wondering if they're just going to give up on it. Like... I don't know. I guess that's not what happened with Hellman's. I guess Hellman's did try to fight them and lost. Which was
I don't imagine Nestle giving up. But I honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they were just trademarking lots of things in that arena because they think they might need it at some point, or they understand that it would hurt other competition for them to hold it.
Yeah. I guess I'm hoping that that's the case, because I mean, even though it's like, that's a kind of a shitty thing to do, it's like, I'm still hoping that it's just some frivolous thing for them. And so that they will give up and concede and not kind of continue to put a lot of money into it. That, like you've said, is like, they can certainly out lawyer and like out price their Rivers Butcher.
Yeah. I mean, that just seems like really wishful thinking. So, I don't know, it's such a bummer. I think that we're going to see more and more of this, as it's like another unforeseen downside of the growth of the plant-based food sector, is that there are going to be these corporations that really have no stake in the ethics whatsoever, but they just understand that they can make money, you know, and they're going to do what they can to crush these smaller companies that are not, that don't have the funding that they do, and can probably pretty easily mess with them, if not like wipe a lot of these companies out of existence. That's just like what you see with the world of business in general.
It's not what happened with Hellman's though. And just foods, Hampton Creek.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, but I don't know. I think that it really sucks, because I think a lot of these smaller plant-based companies, I don't know, maybe this is totally unfounded, but I get the impression that, you know, you're all like smart ups with like a little smart ups.
I just went along. I was like, oh, this is a new cool phrase that I've never heard of before.
They're all just like startups that have like barely enough money to get by, which is the nature of like a startup. And that if like an obstacle like that does get thrown in their way, that it will hurt them. I'm sure obviously there's gonna be a lot more people coming into the game that have lots of money, but I don't know. It just, I truly hope, I mean, obviously this goes without saying, but I truly hope the Rivers Butcher wins. I especially love the fact that they're like, we either want it for ourselves or for everybody.
Yeah.
Which makes them seem like the good guys. Although I guess you could say that if they just get it for themselves, then they're depriving others of using it. But also if they were the first, then who cares? I don't know.
Do you think that as an actionable move, we should be trying to like spread this news story in the same way that the Hampton Creek situation and Hellman's kind of blew up and went poorly in their favor?
I think so. I think that Nestle already has such a horribly evil like connotation to it that it's like, here's another reason to hate Nestle. Then maybe in that case, it would just feel like it's just like another like drop in the ocean, but
that they're trying to seal, take all the water,
yep.
Seal it, commercialize
privatize it. Cause it's not a public right. Yeah. Yeah, Nestle is just the worst. And it really, I mean, not that I was like into supporting Sweet Earth before, but now I'm like really not into supporting Sweet Earth.
Yeah.
But also I think their bacon sucks. So a lot of people seem to love it.
Should we move on to this next story, Andy?
I think so. I think like it's it's pretty obvious what the take on this story is. Nestle's horrible, and we hope that the beloved member of the vegan community wins.
But is it obvious what the take on this next story is, Andy?
I would say that the vast majority of people I've seen have had the exact same response to it, and I think I might offer a different take.
Oh, okay. All right. So I found two articles from very recently. This one's from November 25th. The other one's from November 24th. That is today and yesterday. Does suing Burger King over the Impossible Whopper make vegan sense? This is from Forbes.com. Vegan and vegetarian advocates and activists cheered Burger King's decision earlier this year to roll out the Impossible Whopper, making it one of a growing number of quick-serve chains to start serving one of the more beef-like plant-based burgers. But a lawsuit filed by a man who says he adheres to a strictly vegan diet and was misled into thinking the burger was free from animal byproducts has kicked off a new wave of publicity and social media commentary, much of it centering on the effectiveness of actions like this.
This makes me think this person was not on Facebook ever. Clearly not a listener of the Bearded Vegans.
Georgia resident Philip Williams filed the lawsuit in federal district court in South...
Wait. Phil Will? Phil Will. Henceforth known as Phil Will.
Georgia resident Phil Will filed the lawsuit in federal district court in South Florida, where the U.S. headquarters of Burger King is located, alleging that the burger he believed to be vegan actually wasn't because it was cooked on the same grill as beef burgers. The lawsuit, which has been filed in hopes of becoming a class action, contends that Burger King's use of the Impossible Meat brand and the tagline 0% beef and 100% Whopper implies that the burger is vegan. On its website, Burger King alerts consumers that the burgers are cooked on the same grill as beef burgers, but can be cooked separately in the microwave upon request. So, you know, the article goes on and kind of brings in, you know, Gene Bauer, brings in someone else, gets some quotes saying about...
Will Tuttle playing the piano.
Talks about the things that you would think we would talk about, Andy, which is basically like, this is probably making... Vegans already have a bad rap, and this is probably making it look a little bit worse.
That seems to be like the general take. I think we should talk about like, what ground do we think this lawsuit potentially has to stand on before we even give our opinion on it?
I think little.
Yeah. Well, so... up until, because I had not read this article, up until seeing that the issue was with the phrase 0% beef, 100% Whopper, because I was like, what? How could anyone think that? They never advertised it as vegan. And honestly, 0% beef, that just means vegetarian. Now, obviously, you could argue because of the shared grill, or this person, Phil Will, is arguing that it's not even vegetarian because it's cooked on the same grill. But to me, 0% beef means nothing. It doesn't mean vegan.
I agree. Yes.
Whatsoever. So yeah, is the play just to hope that Burger King is like, let's just settle out of court because this is ridiculous and it's not worth our time? It seems like there's no way for Phil Will to actually win this thing.
But let me ask you this, Andy. But will Phil Will's will steal the grill?
One eternity later.
I could have come up with a better one if I had more time to think about that. But
I'm just thinking. Am I supposed to respond to that?
No. It didn't actually make sense.
Will Phil Will's will steal the grill?
Like if it still was like hold or halt, will it halt the grill or something? Stall. If it was stall the grill.
Fall Walls will stall the girl.
Andy, I agree with you that I don't believe that. I would say that this lawsuit doesn't have much ground to stand on because, yeah, 0% beef doesn't necessarily say this is a vegan product. Yeah. Certainly. I think beyond the even the vegetarian thing, it certainly does not say that this has to be a vegan product because it says 0% beef.
Do you think the onus of proving that it's vegan is on, or like advertising or whatever, is on Burger King's head? Like, is it their fault?
The head of the Burger King.
Bring me the head of the Burger King. Do you like, I mean, is it someone's fault if they just assume something is vegan? Now, like, granted, 0% beef, like, leans you in a direction. But if I go to the grocery store and I see some ice cream that says dairy free, I'm going to go, this is probably vegan. But if it's a brand I've never heard of or seen from before, I'm still going to look and go, what, they put eggs in here or whatever? Or there's like lactase or, you know, whatever. Yeah,
that eggy ice cream.
Does it make like custards?
No, you're probably right. Yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite flavor of ice cream, egg.
Have you seen Oatly? Oatly has,
it's like milk, but made for humans.
No. Oatly has, they put out ice cream now, and one of their flavors is oat flavor.
Yes. Yeah. Because they like, oh, three flavors. It's vanilla, chocolate. Oh, must be strawberry. You're like, no, it's vanilla, chocolate, and oat. And I'm like, how is oat not the same as vanilla?
So where were we going? Oh, yes. Is it on Burger King? I would say, so I'll say this, and I don't want to seem like I'm like taking Burger King's side just because I don't believe that this lawsuit should have been filed, which I guess is taking Burger King's side. But I think that
it might just be taking the side of common sense, though.
Yeah. Cause it seems like even when I go to like vegetarian restaurants, I'll still make sure that certain things are vegan. You know, plenty of people go to all vegan restaurants and still check to make sure things are vegan. And Andy's shaking his head disapprovingly, but you know, it's like, it doesn't hurt to ask. And unless Burger King said this is a vegan product, which they didn't ever say it was a vegan product, then you kind of like, I don't know. I just think, do you, Andy, think that this person like actually was misled or is just trying to like make a point with this case?
That's interesting. Cause my leaning was this person just thinks they can get a quick buck because there's some ambiguity there and they're trying to sort of take advantage of that. But it could also, yeah, it could be someone that's like, this type of thing might, one, convince Burger King to stop having the shared grill, which, as we talked about in our last episode, I think it was one of our Impossible Whopper bonus episodes, that like the grill is like, it's not just like a little grill, it's this like conveyor belt flame broiling contraption. It's hard to imagine they're gonna like bring in a separate one of those unless they just like clean off like a track, like that's like, here's the Impossible Whopper half of the thing.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
But so that like, not only would it make Burger King change, but also send the signal to all the other restaurants that you damn sure better make sure there isn't a shared surface. And Paul.
Yes.
Even if it does make us look ridiculous, isn't that like, if it does have that effect, wouldn't it be better that that happens than not?
But if that becomes the new precedent, then couldn't that also have the effect that a lot of these places that now have these options are just like, well, we can't do that, so now we don't have these options anymore.
This is true. This is very true.
And maybe that wouldn't happen, but I feel like if pressed, then many restaurants would do some evaluation on like, okay, let's see what's worth it to have this or to not have this, you know? And it's already clearly costing these restaurants a lot of money to do when you see, you know, places that upcharge for their burgers like $5 extra just to have the Impossible.
Paul, that's an outrageous example. I refuse to believe someone would charge $5 extra for an Impossible patty.
Andy's jesting with me because we were just talking to my mother who said that she was just at a restaurant where she saw there was a $5 upcharge for it. So clearly they're only, yes, Andy?
Did you I hope your mom was like, I can get an entire burger from Burger King for $5.
So, you know, and I feel like the restaurants are doing that mostly because it's costing them a lot of money to get these. So I feel like they're going to be, they would be making some decisions. And I do think that at least some restaurants, if not many, if they were forced to do this, they would stop having these options. And Andy, I imagine that not even with the burger necessarily, but any of the dishes, You know, it's like, I feel like it opens it up for a big, like, think about any, it's not just burgers, you know, what if it's shared, like any, it's not just burgers, it's any sort of shared equipment, you know?
Hot dogs?
Not like pots and pans, or it's like the,
who eats pots and pans, Paul?
Shut up, Andrew. But, and obviously I want them to be washing these things in between when they use them, which I hope that they do, but I feel like cross-contamination is just inevitable in restaurants that have both vegan and non-vegan options. For many restaurants, it's inevitable. And I guess I worry that it just seems like, why is this person suing Burger King? If this is an issue that they really care about, wouldn't this surely should have come up somewhere else?
They got that BK money,
But you know, that thought didn't cross my mind, that this person is just doing it for the money. I thought that they were just doing it because they wanted to, like, this is like the ultimate, like, I am a better vegan than you.
I am king.
Yeah. Like the ultimate, I'm a more pure vegan than you. Like, I'm willing to bring this to a lawsuit. Like, that's how pure that I am. That's how I took it. I didn't take it as a money grab. I took it as a, like a, this is vegan. I have reached the, like, I'm meditating and like sitting cross-legged and floating in the air. This is how vegan I am. I am that holy.
Oh, I think our different interpretations speak to how you're like a good, wholesome, pure human being. And I was just like, they're doing it for the money.
but again, it's like, and obviously Phil Will would never admit this, but did this person really like, I don't know. I guess it's entirely possible that this person went multiple times to this Burger King or maybe they just went once and this lawsuit is over like one time that they did it, because I have seen people posting in comments that they didn't know that it was cooked on the same grill and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I don't think that Burger King is misleading people. This is something that is, it seems pretty standard practice in restaurants to be using same cooking surfaces. So it's like, is Burger King doing anything different than what a lot of restaurants are doing?
I mean, is there a world in which someone could actually not know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly think that from Facebook comments that I've seen, Andy, many people are outraged when they find out about that. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's being cooked on the same grill.
Can I tell you what really perplexes me about this whole thing?
Hmm. No? Okay.
So, I mean, shared services, indeed gross. I will grant
indeed.
That.
Indeed.
I will grant that to anybody. I think it's gross. I don't love it, even though I don't care about it, ethically speaking. So like, I'll give that to anybody, but who is the person that is so upset about the shared grill that they're willing to sue Burger King, but still willing to overlook the animal testing of the Impossible Burger? Like, who is so vegan that they would like do that lawsuit, but still eat the, like, I would imagine anyone that would be so upset about a shared surface that they would sue somebody would also have already been boycotting the Impossible due to the animal testing as detailed in billions of our episodes.
This is true, Andy, because Impossible themselves have said, we don't make a vegan burger.
This is true. Paul. That's going to be like the moment in court when they bring in Ethan Brown or whoever, Pat Brown. Who is it?
One of the George guys. Brown. Yeah. Jeff Brown. Yeah. John Brown. Todd Brown.
Your neighbor, Tom Brown. Yeah, like they bring in Mr. Impossible, the Impossible King, and they're like, could you point to the Facebook comment and read it out loud? And then the person's like, oh yeah, no, the Impossible Burger is not vegan. It is plant-based. And then the whole court goes, you know, like they don't even claim that it's vegan. They just claim that it's 0% beef.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, what case does this person really have to, how is this going to, I feel like, how are they going to win this?
I mean, the thing is, even though it doesn't come down to whether or not it's vegan, I mean, we'd actually have to read and look at what the actual filing is. Is that public knowledge yet? Who knows? I don't know. I'm not willing to look it up. You know, but if it is 0% beef and in fact it is in contact with the, you know, the grease from the flesh of a cow, and that makes it not 0% beef, regardless of whether it's vegan or not, then that is inaccurate. It's right.
Wait, can I just rephrase what you were saying, if I get it correctly? You're saying that they're saying it's 0% beef, but since it's coming in contact with potentially coming in contact with some form of beef, then it makes it not 0% beef, and therefore it's inaccurate. Is that what you're saying?
Say that again.
It says it's 0% beef, but it's coming into contact with the grill, which may have some form of beef. So therefore it's false advertisement.
Yes. I think that's like what the argument would have to be.
Let me ask you this, Andy. What if the patty touched the counter? And I don't know what I was going to say. It's not 0% counter anymore.
It then becomes 100% counter.
I don't know. I wonder if there is a precedent already set for like some sort of cross contamination in general. There must be, because like with allergens and stuff like that, you know, the boxes say may contain this, or used in a facility that produces this. And they say all those things because at some point I'm sure someone sued someone because they said, like, I got allergic because of this thing. And certainly I've seen many Facebook people posting, like, I got so sick after I ate the Impossible Whopper because it was contaminated. And I suspect it's more so because it's just a greasy, gross burger. That's why they got sick. Yeah. And not because of the contamination. Because I stand firm that while, yes, there certainly may be some cross-contamination, I feel like it is a minuscule amount.
Yeah. For all the reasons we've talked about before, you know, especially the fact that it's a like conveyor belt grill that's constantly being exposed to very high heat. It seems like it's gotta be so minimal.
So I don't know. So again, like you just pointed out, Andy, we don't know the exact specifics of this. The thing that this article says is that the lawsuit contends that it's specifically talking about that one phrase, that it's Burger King's use of the tagline 0% beef, 100% Whopper implies that the burger is vegan. And I feel like that can't be their argument, because that just doesn't seem like it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because they never said it was vegan. And I also, like, Andy, I will also say, I think that certainly suggestive advertisement sucks. And like there's, you know, you it's hard to know, like, nowadays what products really contain because of advertisement and the labeling and those sorts of things. And I do think that that is an issue. I do think that people like Burger King and other products, they try to get away with things that, or they try to make you think things are certain things, like by using words like natural or organic or something like that. And I do think that that's a problem. I just don't think that that's what they were doing in this specific instance.
Yeah. I mean, Paul, that brings up an interesting point, though, because what if, so if the motivation of this person is, in fact, to like really stick it to Burger King and like make the world like a more vegan place, could this potentially have the backfire, not the backfire effect, but just a backfire in which this is evidence for all of the non-vegan companies that are trying to make it so like Herbivorous Butcher couldn't use the word steak in their product, like all these lawsuits that we've been seeing? Do you think that like if this person wins and then all the other people be like, see, look, they're confused, this person doesn't understand what's going on, and then that gives them the fuel to then win their lawsuits and claim the rights to terms like burger and nugget and steak?
You mean like when like the dairy industry is trying to sue the companies for using the word milk and stuff like that?
Yeah.
It's a leap, Andy. Anything is possible in these wacky and wild days of the 21st century.
Yeah.
But I didn't, that's not something that I thought of, but I'm not gonna put it past. Weirder things have happened.
Weird, wacky stuff.
Can I move on to this second article about it, Andy?
Sure.
So I found this other, this is from finance.yahoo.com, and this is most certainly an opinion article, but I wanted to present it because I feel like it presents the other side of the other opinion than the one that we've mostly had. So this is titled, "A Vegan Sued Burger King Over Its Impossible Whopper." He has a point.
Oh.
Now, so I'm just going to read a short clip of it. Because so basically the first part, you know, describes what happened. And then it continues. "Now, I'm as quick as anyone to condemn frivolous litigation, but if the allegations are true, Williams might well have a case. Vibrant free markets rely on truthful advertising, at least when the advertising influences the purchase decision. If a consumer happens to be vegetarian or vegan, or even like me, pescapolitarian."
Does that mean they eat fish and chicken?
Yes, that is what that means. I had to look it up. It just means no.
I hate it.
No mammals.
I hate it, Paul.
Me too.
Kill it with fire.
The claim that the Impossible Whopper contains no meat will be crucial to the choice whether to give the sandwich a try. Not long ago, courts turned skeptical eyes to arguments by vegans that they'd been snookered.
Great word choice.
Back in 2003, for instance, a California judge dismissed a lawsuit by a, quote, strict ethical vegan against the maker of a tuberculosis test that, according to the plaintiff, was said to be vegan-friendly but actually contained animal products. The plaintiff lost not because the claim was ridiculous, but because, according to the court, the class of, quote, strict ethical vegans was too small. A reasonably prudent seller, wrote the court, possessed, quote, no duty to warn of the possibility of rare, idiosyncratic, hypersensitive, or unusual reactions to an otherwise safe and useful product. And then the person goes on to list a couple other cases. One of them, for instance, was when someone who was of the Muslim faith, who doesn't eat beef, was filed a lawsuit because there was like a B12 vitamin that on the website said it was suitable for vegetarians and vegans, but it was actually a gelatin capsule. And that person lost because I believe the article says it was considered in the category of puffery, which is what the courts say when it's like exaggerated advertising. And it's like something that is reasonably exaggerated that someone would know and understand that it was something being exaggerated. So for instance, when like car places say this is the best car on the planet and stuff like that, it's considered puffery because most people would say obviously it's not. And I certainly disagree in that case. But Andy, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you.
No, one, puffery sounds so dismissive. Ah, that's mere puffery. Hogwash. Yeah. It's puffery. That seems like such a bad ruling, even that very first one. Because it's like, yeah, no matter how small of a population that would be offended by that, it's still technically, like literally, physically inaccurate.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely.
That's ridiculous that he couldn't win that.
So the opinion of this article was like, this is a good thing because it's saying like, you know, vegetarians and vegans are kind of being pushed to the side by some of these advertisements that are straight up false advertisement. And so it's good that this person is bringing this to the court because it's kind of making it, you know, kind of bringing to light like, hey, this is serious. We are vegans and we are here and you shouldn't lie to us anymore.
But couldn't you just consider the 0% beef puffery? Like people, you know, obviously people understand it's only 99.99999% zero beef.
And I'm gonna have you check your mouth on that one.
You know, like it's a slight exaggeration because there's a little cross contamination. You know, it's the world's most beef-free burger.
No, I think the two cases, the other cases that were listed in this article, are like, in my opinion, without a doubt, like those people had grounds to file those lawsuits. That B12 vitamin, for instance, said suitable for vegans and vegetarians, but it was a gelatin capsule. And like that to me is clear. That's not puffery. That's clearly like they're false advertising. So I think I agree with the overall like tone and opinion that this person is putting forward that wrote this article. I don't think that it fits into the, this specific Burger King lawsuit does not fit in that category. I think that Burger King never said that it was vegan. They weren't trying to say that it was vegan. And I don't know. I guess they could also, Burger King could also make the argument, like, if you say, like, show me the Impossible Whopper, show me the Whopper, and you bring out the frozen Whopper, that wasn't anything. That was just,
I was like, was that a Jerry Maguire reference? But instead it's Thanos saying it.
Like, if you just brought out the Whopper uncooked, it's not wrong that that product that you're holding is 0% beef.
Yeah, but the production is like a part of it. Like, you could bring out like raw flour and be like, it's not, I don't know, a cake, but eventually it becomes a cake, you know?
Yeah, but
through the process.
But I feel like, I don't know. I just don't think in this specific case, this process makes it unvegan. You know, you know, a lot of people are characterizing what's happening with the grill as like, it's being dunked in beef fat and stuff like that, which is just not the case. Like, that's, yeah. I think that's even that I would be like, okay, I don't want to eat this thing now. Like, that I think would be different, but this is just, it's not being cooked in the fat of the beef. It's being passed over with a grill.
Yeah. And like, honestly, I feel like that's what it all comes down to is, do we think that like the legal definition of vegan should include shared surfaces or not? And like, part of me is like, well, yeah, I guess so. Even though that's not like a real concern for me. I know it is for some people, and it's also just kind of gross. So why not? But then you pointed out all the downsides, that it could really discourage restaurants from including something if they're not able to provide a separate surface, all these things. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of torn on it. I do think it's on some level, I do think it's ridiculous, but part of me is like, I don't know. Like, why not? Like, if he wins, maybe that's cool. Like, go Phil Will.
Go Phil Will. I mean, I think, you know, Andy, what I think is that maybe what I could see as something that is maybe beneficial for people, for vegans who have both on both sides of this, and also probably hopefully would not discourage restaurants from including these options, is maybe either on the menu or the server just noting when someone orders this thing, hey, this is cooked on the same grill. Is that okay? Yes. Cool. Okay. We're going to do it, or something like that, which, Andy, is what Burger King does. They have those little, they have those little cards out that say, like,
I've got a decent amount of those things that I've never been asked how I want it cooked. And like a drive through, those little things aren't out.
I guess I've been asked, Andy.
They like you more than me, Paul.
Maybe. But I don't know. Anyways, I think that might be a good solution to this. Is just like, hey restaurants, all you restaurants listening out there, just like have your server say, this is cooked on the same surface. Is that okay? Yes. No. Cool.
All non-vegan restaurants. If you like it, then you shouldn't put it on the grill. Nailed it.
Was that Single Ladies?
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. I just thought of that right now. I know you're surprised. I must have been workshopping that for months, but.
But so yeah, I don't know. I think where I'm falling down on this is that I think this is a frivolous lawsuit that is, I believe, potentially doing more damage than good, both in terms of just vegans' reputations as a whole, and then also, like, what would happen if this goes through? Is Burger King just going to stop selling the Impossible Whopper? Are other places going to stop having vegan options? Or is everyone going to get shared surface, or is everyone going to get separate surfaces, Andy?
Well, I think everyone who purchased the Impossible Whopper is going to get a 10% off discount code. Super inside joke.
Yes.
I think we should illuminate the listeners.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I got like a month ago, I got an email from Zappos.com, which is like a shoes website. And it was like, oh, hey, you purchased shoes from us in 2012 and some of our data leaked out and we got sued. And as a result, as a result of a class action lawsuit, like, we have to give you like, what is it? Reparations for this. And so here's a 10% discount code that's good until December, which is like a month from now. And I was like, wow, that's not really doing anything. And then Andy got that same email.
I got that email like 2 days ago.
So I'm because I got it months ago and Andy just got it, I'm suspicious that they aren't just sending this to everyone as a ploy of just instead of like, hey, we have a 10% off sale. Like, why not make it seem like you're getting something great and you should use this thing?
Oh, Paul, I hadn't thought about that. That's diabolical.
Didn't I say that to you?
No. The fact that it was because we talked about it and the email is now targeted advertising for me.
Whoa. All right. Are we done talking about this?
I thought I had a really interesting point to bring up before that diversion happened, but I don't know if I can get it back.
Well, while you're trying to get it back, Andy, I'll just say, if you out there have thoughts about this, email them in, thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. I'm dragging this out just in case Andy thinks of the thing.
I can't. What were we even talking about before then?
Sure. So I said that I could see the big downfall as being like places not having these options, but I guess there's the possible good thing of everyone gets separate grills.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Then you said, maybe the good thing will be we all get 10% off burgers.
Great. I'm glad we could relive that joke. It was very funny, but it's still not jogging my memory.
All right.
Paul, I would like to propose a contest for the listeners, for the select few that are able to listen to this. And I've made it to the end.
Okay.
I don't know what the prize is going to be, because if you're listening, I guess if you're at like the dollar level, you haven't gotten any physical rewards yet. I don't think the winner of this is, it's not like a t-shirt worthy contest, but I would like to see who can construct the best sentence that uses Phil Will and as many rhymes of Will as possible.
Oh, I think I got a good one brewing.
Lay it on me. I don't have one in my head. I've been trying to construct one all episode long.
This is the news title. This is like the newspaper title. Phil Will : grill still kills.
How about Phil Will won't chill, grill still kills.
Yeah, so send those in, please.
You know the drill. Yeah, put them in a comment, email them to us. We'll read the best one in a main episode. We'll even say your full last name if you want.
That sounded threatening.
We'll call you out.
All right, Andy. But so send in your submissions and also any questions, comments, or concerns to thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. Or you can always comment below if you're listening to this on the Patreon. So yeah, I think that's all we got to say in this bonus episode. Hopefully it doesn't take us a really long time to get another bonus episode out, but hopefully not. You know, it's been less than, what episode are we on? 208 or something like that? It was less than 10 episodes ago that we had a bonus episode.
This is true.
Although 10 episodes is
10, oh, very long
10
time.
Weeks.
For real. For real. Well, Paul, this is weird, but I just got a fax.
Yeah, it's strange that you got a fax machine, but
well, we're at your parents' house. They seem like, you know, traditional kind of people. They prefer their communication via fax. But it's from Nestle. You can see the official Nestle logo at the header there. And unfortunately, it says that they've successfully filed a trademark and a copyright on the name of this podcast.
Oh my God, that's not good.
Puts us in a hard place. But I don't know. We'll figure out how to deal with this. Yeah. I guess all there is to do now is to say the following 7 words.
We are the kids signing off. So I found 2 articles from very recently. This one's from November 25th. The other one's from November 24th. That is today and yesterday.
That's in the future.
What?
It's the 23rd.
Today's the 25th.
No, it's not. I was just making a bad joke.
Does suing Burger King over the Impossible Whopper make vegan sense?
Oh, they can make sense vegan now?
I don't get that joke.
Because it's like, oh, they can make chicken wings vegan now, and they can make, you know.
I got you.
It's like a joke you make when you go to like Whole Foods and you go to the hot bar and it's like vegan lettuce, and you're like, oh, they make lettuce vegan now.
I got you.
Get it?
I got you. That's
gonna be a great blooper section.
John, do something about trademarking this. We Are the Beard Vegan signing off. Let's hope Nestle never tries to trademark the following seven words.
What if we did something that was like, unfortunately, I just found out that there has been a trademark filed, not by us, on the following seven words, and then you don't say them.
Do you think that people will get the joke?
What if we beeped out every word?
So what if you're like, what if we just like, well, unfortunately, we just found out The Bearded Vegans has been trademarked by Nestle. So we'll leave you with this and the following seven words, we are, and then it'll be like beep, 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 signing off or something like that.
That's good. That's good. That gives us like a little of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul, you know, nothing really says success like Nestle coming after you. And unfortunately, I just got this fax in that says that they have trademarked the name of this show. I can't even say it right now.
Are you talking about the I'm going to beep that out.
I mean, in theory, one might be talking about the but unfortunately, that might mean it's the end of us. No. How do we get out of this? Should we only have the beeps for the final three?
But this way, then people know why we're beeping out. Like, if we just beep out it at the end, I'm wondering if people will get, like instead of a beep at the end, if we just do the end, maybe it's like, I can find a voice that says like copyright infringement or something like that.
All right, I feel like maybe we should just start this bit over again.
Okay.
Well, Paul, I just got this fax in, and I sound a bit dejected because it's from Nestle.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they really are trying to take over the vegan market, because it turns out they've trademarked the name of our podcast.
Oh, no. It's not good.
You're supposed to say, are you talking about...
Oh, okay. Wait, I thought we weren't going to
do that. I thought we were doing that because it's like funny.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. I think it works fine if it's just like they copyright the name of the podcast. So I guess all there is to do is say the following,
okay.
You know.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Muster up that dejectedness again.
Put this in the bloopers. People can see our artistic process. Dejected.